Sealed and delivered, praise God, amen. We've got the King seal on this morning. We're going to sing one more. We're just starting to get going now, praise God. He walked in Galilee, he died for you and me.
He walked on. Thank you.
Lord bless each one this morning. I give everyone a very warm welcome and their service in the name of the Lord. We were blocked in here this morning when we got. I thought I was going to have to ring John to bring a digger and move a jeep, which was stuck at the front entrance. I had to leave a wee note for neighbours down the road here. I thought I was going to have to go down and see the local priest to see what the stop block and the entrance here. So I wouldn't want to fall out with our neighbours on a Sunday. But thank God for his mercy. And just happened to be that Raymond came this morning as well. So I'm going to have to get a box put out there, what they call the yellow box, so that they don't block it no more when people's coming into church, praise God. But I'll tell you, the devil's not happy.
Amen.
He's not happy. And when you start to preach on the blood of Jesus, there's a chance people can get set free. That upsets them badly. There's a lot of things you could preach and never bore them. Never do them no harm. But when you preach in the blood of Jesus, I'm telling you, he's upset. And the old priest down the road here, no harm tell him, he has no message. And that's the truth. Now, we need to know that. He's a false priest. He's no message. And them poor people's in bondage, for their sins remain. But we have a message this morning that removes sin. Removes sin. And not only does it remove sin, it enables us to enter boldly into the very presence of Almighty God. Thank God we have a heavenly priest this morning. A superior priesthood. That after the order of Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. What a priest we have. Praise God. Now, I know a lot of people know this message. I've preached it before. 10 impossibilities if the blood of Christ perished. And I was thinking this morning, I could do a sermon in every one of the little titles in it. And I got this message reading a tract of Ian Paisley's years ago. I think maybe Brother Gary was with me or remembers it. And I believe God spoke to me very, very clearly when I developed this message, when the Lord gave me it. God spoke to me in a powerful way. In such a way I thought it couldn't happen, what God said to me. And when I went to Mashingo in Africa and I preached this message, they baptized 100 people after the service.
Amen.
I went to church in Manchester and they had 10 converts after one service. In Brother Ron Borthick's church, there'd been nobody saved in years. And 6 people got saved. And here's the best of it. There were students that came that day especially. They weren't people that normally came. There were students that just happened to come in. And 6 of them got saved that morning. I'm under expectation.
Amen.
And I don't know who might hear it, but I believe God's word will not return void. And what the Holy Spirit said, I never said it. You know, William Branham said this. He says, it wasn't me that came. He came to me. I was only there when he came. He done it. And if God really tells you something, God will definitely do it. If God says it. Praise God. You know, what our brother Laurie said to me last Sunday, when he preached and he looked down and he said something to me. And the thing that Laurie doesn't know this, but the thing that Laurie said to me, a man of God told me the same thing 30 years ago, word for word. The exact same thing. And that was not to listen to nobody or go to the right or to the left, but straight. And only to hear from God. Because there's so many people can have an opinion for you. I think, brother, you should do this or that. And many times, if you followed it, you'd be shipwrecked. But thank God for the Word of God. Let's turn to Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And while you're turning it, let me just give you a little segment of what C.H. Spurgeon said. And I really appreciate the ministry of C.H. Spurgeon. He's called the Prince of Preachers. There are some preachers who cannot or do not preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have one thing to say to you concerning them. Never go to hear them. A ministry that has not the blood in it is lifeless. And a dead ministry is no good to anybody. That's what Spurgeon said, and I believe that. I remember going and hearing a man, and everybody clapped him and waved him, like a bit like a Brother John mentioned the other week. And they preached a new revelation, and the new revelation was that the blood has now turned to the Word. There's no more blood, it's the Word. The blood's turned to Word. But I want them to show me that in the Bible. Scripture for scripture. Want them to show me it. I don't want it because some man said it. No matter what titles or who he is, it won't interest me. Where's it in the Bible? The Spirit and the blood. And the Bible talks about three in heaven and three in earth. Agreeing in one. Let's read this morning, praise God. And if you have a need this morning, you believe God will do something for you. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And my first thought this morning is the impossibility of forgiveness of sins. If there's no blood, your sins cannot be forgiven. Period. So that's the danger when you take the blood away. And that's only one thing. And I'm going to mention 10 of them. I won't be able to do it all this morning. There's no way. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. You have a need. Lift your hand up high to the Lord. And God will meet your need. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are a privileged people. Lord, we come into your throne room by the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Precious blood. You give your life's blood that we could have life. And there's life in the blood. We thank you for the life of the blood, the Holy Ghost power. Lord, we pray the life of the blood will come over this house and all that's in it and all that's near. And dear to us, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we pray for our neighbors here this morning, steeped in tradition and darkness. Lord, enlighten them, we pray, with the thing you've sent to do it, the glorious light of the gospel. Father, bless your children this morning. Everyone in this house meet their need, Lord. You see the hands raised, you know every need. You know every situation. Lord, I believe you spoke to me years ago with this message. Lord, I'm under expectation. I can only do my part, but I need you to do your part. And you will do it, and you'll do it well. And I'm going to praise you for it, Lord, and thank you in advance. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Meet every need, I pray. Save our children. We claim every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Save the wife. Save the husband, the niece, the nephew, the aunt, the uncle, the son, the daughter. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for those that need a miracle in their body, you're a miracle worker. We've sang about it. You heal the sick. You open the blinded eyes. Touch, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I yield myself to you. Ask you for the leadership. Ask you for the filling. Ask you for the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. And I do take the Holy Spirit by faith. In Jesus' precious name. And I thank you, undertake for me. in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. Please forgive me if I'm a bit emotional. You know, I mentioned one week on here live about Martin Luther and some boy, he took offense to it. But the fact of the matter is, why I like Martin Luther so much is because there's nobody else I know of was in the darkness he was in out of all them messengers. He was in pure black darkness. And God had to work in a special way to bring him out of it. And Martin Luther stripped himself naked and done penance, and he whipped himself in every hand. And he could get no peace, and he went to one of his superior priests. And they told him to read the Bible, and when he read the Bible, the Holy Spirit leapt out of it in the words, "The just shall live by faith." And I tell you, God saved him, and God delivered him. A monk of the Augustine order, and what a mighty man of God he was. They tried to kill him, they tried to do all sorts for him, and we know at Wittenberg, he took a wee hammer out, and he nailed a 95 theses under the door, and one of them was a rejection of the Pope of Rome. Praise God for it. Now if Luther was enlightened by the Holy Spirit and he rejected the Pope, the Holy Spirit hasn't changed his mind this morning. It's still a rejection. May God deliver people from popery and from the Roman terror of false teaching to the glorious light of the gospel. You know, there should be a message preached on William and the real Protestantism, where it come from, what it really means. It's not about a flag, it's about a freedom in Christ. That's what it's really about. But I don't want to get too much into it this morning, praise God. We had to have a substitute, and if I use this word and I find another word to use instead of substitute. But you know, when substitute's maybe not the best word to use, because you think of substituting somebody on a field, one for one, but Christ took the place of every person. Every person. God so loved the world. Jesus Christ took the place of every person, that he would die for us, shed his blood for us. The person was the Son of God. God decreed that only by the death, by blood shed, can sins be forgiven. That's what God said. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. This is God's inflexible divine law. This is something that can't be changed, can't be altered, and can't be broken. This has to be a message as well today as it was when God first brought it out. It's God's message. And remember, Abel's not the first one to sacrifice. God was. Because God killed an animal and he clothed Adam and Eve. So an animal died and he gave clothing to Adam and Eve because they had a fig leaf religion before that. And the fig leaf wasn't enough. And there's a lot of people today with fig leaf religion. Yes. Fig leaf religion is a religion of man's own making. Yes. Fig leaf. And it's not a covering at all. But God killed an animal and he made a covering of skin. And he covered Adam and Eve so that their nakedness be hid. And there is a covering today for me and you. And the covering today for me and you is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Shall you be found clothed when the Lord comes?" And we're clothed by his divine righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Praise God. This substitutionary atonement, also called vicarious atonement. That's another word for substitution. Vicarious is maybe a better word. Jesus Christ died for us in our place. Jesus Christ did it for us. That which we could never do for ourselves, he done for us. He shed his blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It is so important that we preach the blood, because forgiveness of sins comes through the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness means the remission of our sins. And this remission is impossible if Christ's blood is not literally shed blood. Death by blood shedding is the inflexible divine law of God. No man can change this. This is eternal and unalterable truth. And I don't care what message the follow or who the follow. Brother so-and-so doesn't believe it. Doesn't interest me what he believes. I believe it because it's the Bible. Our foundation's not a movement or a monument. Our foundation is the Word of God. And Paul said, let no other man build on any other foundation than that one which has been laid. And remember, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone of that solid foundation. No man can change this. This is the eternal, unalterable truth, not just symbolical blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is literal blood, and it's literally shed blood. So without the shedding of blood, no remission. Number two, it's impossible to have redemption if you have no blood. For redemption only could come by blood. You were bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you realize it's called precious? There's nothing else could pay for you. Nothing else could pay for me. But the precious blood of Jesus has paid for you in full. The devil doesn't own you. The sins of your past have no control over you. They're forgiven. They're gone. And you're bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are God's this morning. The Lord paid for you. The Lord owns you. And I have news for the devil. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord says he's good thoughts for you. He's good things planned for you. The devil wants to tell you different, but I'm telling you what God says. God has good plans for you. Plans to bless you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to do things for you that you can't imagine. And regardless of what's happened or what's come along down the road, God knows the end from the beginning. And he's a purpose and a plan for every single thing. He foreknew you. And he foresaw you ever before you were born. And you were chosen in him from the very foundation of the world. And the Lamb of God was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. He predestined you. And he paid for you in full. The devil's no claim on you. I tell you, when the devil comes to tell you this or that, you need to do as a brother said, you need to give him the toe. Tell him to get out. Pack your case. Get out, devil. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Verse 12 of Hebrews 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank God this is not a Methodist doctrine this morning that you'll be saved for a week and the next week we'll preach you to get saved again. You're saved once and for all. And once you're saved, you're being saved and you're always saved. And Jesus said, none have I lost, O Father, that thou hast given me. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You see the saved and lost doctrine that people preach? It's a doctrine from hell. Amen. And it puts people in bondage. And I know a lot of Christians, when certain people went and preached for them, they didn't know if they're saved or not when they got finished. And the people were in an awful fix. And then another fellow had to go and preach someone to give them a bit of assurance. But I want you to know, when God saves you, you are being saved. This is an eternal redemption. You can never be lost. Oh, but brother, I made a mistake this week. Who hasn't? Who hasn't made a mistake? It's nothing to do with your mistakes. It's all to do with what he done for you. 2,000 years ago on the cross, the sins of your past, present, and future are gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is eternal redemption. Amen. Praise God for it. Christ came to fulfill God's holy law, and at his advent, made actual through the virgin birth, he exclaimed. Now let me read you this great statement. Then God, the greatest that filled all time and space, became down to one little germ, to the womb of a woman, and then said, when we are saved today, Jesus is neither Jew or Gentile, because, you know, the blood had life. The Bible said we are saved by the blood of God, see? Not a Jew or Gentile. He was God. Therefore, when he come to the altar and put our hands by faith upon the head and feel the tearing and agony at Calvary and confess our sins that we are wrong and he died in our place, it is God's blood that saves us. That's why the blood of Jesus is superior to any other blood. God's blood was flowing in his veins. That's whose blood was flowing in his veins. That's why the blood of Jesus is so powerful. That's why the blood of... Do you know what potent means? Do you know what potent means? Do you ever get a wee pill for something? And the doctor could tell you, or somebody could tell you, that pill is potent. It could be the smallest wee thing, and you could look at it and say to yourself, I could eat a dozen of them, they wouldn't do a thing. But you could find one of them could affect you. They're so potent. That's what potent means. It's like an alcoholic drink that's high in alcohol volume. And I don't know all about the drink, and I'm not interested in it, but if you know anything about drink, or anybody does, not that you should, but there's certain alcoholic drinks, and you don't need much of it till the legs will start to go. It's potent. Then there's other drinks wouldn't affect you. You could drink away at it. It wouldn't bother you. But I'm telling you that Jesus, the blood of Jesus is potent. One drop of it, and the devil goes squealing. That's the truth. He's afraid of the blood. We'll get to that later, but Hebrews 10, verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Christ fulfilled the law to the pleasing of the Father. The law of ceremonial types Christ also had totally fulfilled. He's the morning sacrifice and he's the evening sacrifice. And if you were to go into the Old Testament, you would see there's a morning sacrifice, and you would see he's an evening sacrifice, and he fulfilled all of them. And all these were offered by the law. Christ fulfilled the law to the pleasing of the Father. The law of ceremonial types Christ also had totally fulfilled. He came not to destroy the law, but to establish it. Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12. But Christ becoming an high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle. And it's a more perfect tabernacle because it's not made by the hands of any man. And this more perfect tabernacle, it's not a building. Moses built them a building in the wilderness. They called it the tabernacle. That's where Spurgeon got the name, the Metropolitan Tabernacle. See here, Spurgeon got it from the Old Testament. It's a wonderful name. Then James McConnell took it from C.H. Spurgeon. And that's why the Whitewell Metropolitan Tabernacle came from C.H. Spurgeon. He's before him. But the name originated from the Old Testament. For God told him, build me a tabernacle that I will dwell in. And God's glory came down in the tabernacle, and God came and visited his people. But this talks about a better tabernacle. And this better tabernacle is a body that God made. And God made, Jesus was made of a woman. Did you know it says that? That was the Virgin Mary. And God made himself a body, and God came to his body. So God dwelt in the body, Christ, in that body. God was in that body. And it's a greater tabernacle than that of the Old Testament one. Hallelujah. Because it's not made by man's hands. Not made with hands. That is to say, none of this building. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How long's it obtained for? Eternal. I tell you, when somebody that's really saved dies, they go to be with the Lord. They have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. It's not give you peace. You're going to meet them again. You're going to meet them again. Now here's my third one. You can't have salvation completed without the blood. The impossibility of salvation completed if you have no blood. So you can't have your sins forgiven and you can't have redemption. Number three, no salvation will be complete without the blood. You can't have it. Leviticus 9:22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And if you were to study this morning about Aaron and what I'm telling you and prefacing it, there's a plague broke out amongst the children of Israel. A plague broke out amongst them and they were dropping like flies dead. and Aaron didn't know what to do, and God told him that he needed to put the blood in the basin and go amongst the people and apply the blood upon the people. Now, with the blood of an Old Testament sacrifice, which would have been a lamb or a bullock or a turtle dove or a pigeon, and he sprinkled it on the people. And he could not call down the blessing until the blood was sprinkled. And there can be no blessing. There's no Pentecost until you have a Calvary.
Amen.
It is Calvary, then Pentecost, not the other way around.
Amen.
You come to the cross, then you go to Calvary.
Yes.
And Aaron couldn't call the blessing until the blood was sprinkled on the people. But when the blood was sprinkled on the people, Aaron called the blessing on them. And the death left them. And God healed them. And they lived and didn't die because of God saw the blood.
Yes.
And blood represents blessing. Salvation through the blood. And all these Old Testament types of way of salvation was symbolically exhibited. The sacrificial offering, the blood shedding, and the blood sprinkling resulted in the blessing of God. And when Aaron the high priest and his sons had finished the work of the blood shedding and blood sprinkling, they were able to call down the blessing of Almighty God. Number 6, verse 24 to 27. Let's read it. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, people think when we preach about taking the knee that it is a New Testament doctrine, but it's preached here in Numbers that his name was put upon the people. And just like the name was put upon the people with blood in the Old Testament, when you get baptized, you get baptized, Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ, you take the name of Jesus Christ, because there's life in the name. And when you take the name, the Bible says you receive the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says, because there's life in the name. And you come through the blood and you take that name, and when you take the name, there's power and there's blessing with the name. Salvation's in the name, healing's in the name, health is in the name, strength is in the name, victory's in the name, prosperity is in that name, because that name is Jesus, and it's above every other name. This is an Old Testament where it started. And God runs it and he dovetails it through the whole Bible. It's dovetailed everywhere in Scripture where the name's put on the people. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You could even see in one place where they marked the right ear or the right thumb with a blood mark. And they were marked on the ear. They were marked. And they saw the mark of the blood. And when they knew they saw the mark, they knew that they belonged to somebody because they could see the blood mark. And I want you to know in this service this morning that there is a mark upon you this morning, the mark of the blood of Jesus. And every devil in hell can see it. And let every devil in hell know it, that you're redeemed and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're saved fully and completely. And the devil can see it. There's a mark on you. There's a mark on you this morning. A spiritual mark. The world's going to take the mark of the beast, but we have took the mark of the Holy Spirit, the mark of the blood. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. Praise God. The Lord bless thee. Now what you want this morning, the name of God was put on the people because of the blood was put on them. The name comes with the blood. You can use any other blood. It'll dry up. It'll congeal. It'll wither away. It'll be lifeless after a few hours or moments. There'll be no power in it, no life in it. But this blood here is different blood because it's blood's blood. It's supernatural blood. It's supernatural ability. It has supernatural power within it. And the life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when the blood cell broke, the life was released. That life's the Holy Ghost. Romans says that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. I tell you, brother, you know, there's a wee woman I used to work with, and she used to say it's better felt than telt. Wee kitty. Our Matthew would know about her. Now, she had different reasons for saying it, and we'll not go into that, but I'll tell you one thing. You can feel the power of God. Who'll agree with me this morning? We don't go in the feelings like a brother said, but I'll tell you one thing. There's an anointing in here right now, and I can feel it. It's on me. You can feel it in you. There's an anointing. The anointing of God. And the Bible says the anointing will destroy the yokes and the captives will be set free. That's why God does it. Hebrews 9, verse 18 to 21, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, and he took the blood of the calves and the goats and the water and the scarlet wound and the hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined to you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. No blood, no blessing, no blessing, no remission. Go to say it again. No blood, no blessing, no blessing, no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Your salvation is complete because of Jesus' blood. Number four. The impossibility of the blood being seen. God wants someone he can see. Amen? God wants someone he can see. Praise God. Exodus 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, glory to God, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. If God could see it, and that Old Testament, from a lamb, how much more can he see the blood of his own dear son on the cross? If that lamb's blood could speak and represent you and represent me, so much so that the death angel, when he saw it, he knocked at the knees and he kept on going. He wasn't allowed to stop for a moment. When I see the blood, I will pass over. That means continue on. You can't touch the people. The blood's upon them. Keep going, devil. Amen. How much more does the blood of Jesus speak for you this morning? Thank God for the blood. Look at verse 21. And Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel in the two side posts where the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians." You need to stop worrying about your enemies. God will take care of them. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus Christ loves you this morning. He paid for you, dear sister. He owns you. You're bought for, you're paid for with the priceless blood of Jesus. There's not one devil in hell has an inch on you. The blood's paid for you. The Lord will smite your enemy for you. That's the word of the Lord to you this morning. God's in control. God's on your side. Plead the blood. Call for it. Call for it into your situation and over your circumstances. And if God can do it in this Old Testament, what can he do under the cross in the New Testament? How much more will the Lord do it? Praise God. For the Lord will pass over and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer to destroy it or come into your house to smite you. Praise God. You're on the victory. The lamb was not what God looked upon. The blood on the basin was not what God looked upon. Hear me this morning. It was the blood applied what God looked upon. Amen. When Moses got the blood and he put the blood in the basin, the father of the house could see the blood. The mother of the house could see the blood. That was good. That was part of it. But they didn't stop there. They had to apply it. And the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. People say the blood of Jesus is so powerful. Why does it not work? You remember when Reinhard Bonnke was called into a television studio many years ago. And they had an atheist there. And the atheist began to question him. And he said, "Reinhard Bonnke, you're always preaching about the blood of Jesus. How powerful the blood of Jesus is. And Bunky said he just sat praying, Lord, help me. And he said, it's so powerful. Why do these people die? And why does, this happen? And all these different things he named. And this is how he told it. He said, you know, you go to the shop and you buy a bar of soap. Now that bar of soap has the ability to clean you. But it won't clean you putting it in your pocket. You could fill the bath and set the bar of soap on the side and get in the bath, but you still haven't done nothing with that bar of soap. It's only when you wash in it will you be clean. And if you wash in the bar of soap, and I love soap, and you get a real good wash in a bar of soap, you'll smell like the soap. Is that right? You can smell the soap on you. Who likes that? I'd rather smell like the soap than smell like something else. Would you not? You know, my grandmother, the Lord bless her, you know, she was a wonderful wee woman. But when my mother was in the hospital, I was about 12 or something, 11, 12, so I don't know which one my mom was having. It might have been Matthew. Aaron, maybe. Samuel. Maybe it was Samuel. He's a lot younger than that, Mom. Aren't you, Samuel? He's only about 30, that fella. I think of these boys in their 30s, but I suppose they're near 40s. And I'm in the, well, I won't say where I am. I'm middle-aged, brother. Glory. What do you call that red soap? Lifebuoy soap. My wife hates it. But there's someone in me gets a bar of it still now again because my grandmother used it. Boy, she used to get that Lifebuoy soap. And we'd come in of an evening, she was looking after us. My mom was in the hospital and she'd get the face cloth. Boy, she washed you. Get behind them ears and under the armpits. And she gave you a real scrubbing. You felt good after it. Amen. There was none of this here, a flick into the face, you know. The cat's wife. The cat's wife. You ever hear of the cat's wife? The cat's wife, you know. The just about hits the eyes. But boy, she washed us. And I always remember that. But Bunky said the soap is only works when it is applied. And when you take the soap and apply it with the water and a face cloth or a sponge, and like the hyssop was used to apply in the doorpost, and it was applied on with the hyssop on the doorpost, then the enemy could see it. And when you wash in the soap, you're clean. And when you wash in the blood of Jesus, you're clean. It cleanses you. Praise God. And God sees it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God wants blood to see. And God required blood to be seen in the time of Moses. And God required blood to be seen when they sprinkled it on the tabernacle door and all the vessels. And almost all things, that's what it means in the Old Testament, almost everything was purged with blood. But here we're under the blood of Jesus, and we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can see the blood on you. Now the fella, you know, he got at me once and he said, but there's no physical chemistry of the blood. And you can't take it like liquid in a glass. And boy, went into the whole thing. So I decided I'm going to preach a sermon on the chemistry of blood. How many remembers that? And I got preaching on the chemistry of the blood. To preach, I don't know how many sermons. I still have them somewhere. But I preached a lot of them on the chemistry of the blood. So the devil, the God's always too much of an answer for the devil. But you see, some smart fellow in it can't enter heaven. No, his won't, but God's will. Because Hebrews tells us he entered it with his own blood. He entered it with his own blood. God sees the blood. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven that ye be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us. God can see his blood. 5, the impossibility of blood being sprinkled. God requires blood, and I'm going to finish on this one this morning. And we're probably not halfway, but I don't worry no more about finishing the message. I know people, and you know, whatever the notes they have and everything, they have this thing in their head, they have to finish it. There's a wee man used to come to us, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Now he had to finish everything, but it could take him 2 or 3 hours. How many remembers a fella coming from Canada? And he preached about 3 or 4 hours. How many remembers that? The schoolhouse. And the wee fella came up from the south of Ireland. And I know his name because he's called after Martin Luther. Martin. Martin says to me, you know, Tommy, the priest gave me an awful hiding last week. He took a rod or stick to him and he says, Martin, view not Martin Luther. That's an awful lot to answer for. And Martin thought it was great that he was named with Martin Luther. But we an American come, and I'm going to just tell you how it is. He thought we were all whacked behind the ears. And he was just going to doctrinally fix us all for 3 hours. And he started, and he couldn't get stopped. And I was praying, Lord, you're going to have to close him, because I'm sick listening to him. For 3 hours. And we come outside. Martin has a real southern accent, the southern brogue. And he went up to this fellow who thought he was a real top preacher. And Martin went up to him and he says, Brother, have you ever heard of the Blarney Stone? And the pastor didn't know what he's talking about. And he says, Well, I think you swallowed it. Now, if you kiss the Blarney Stone, you can talk well. But he reckoned this preacher had swallowed it, so he was talking too well. Praise God. Well, that was Martin. Hebrews 12:24, unto Jesus, a mediator of a new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Now, I want you to know that Abel's blood spoke to God from the thorns. Cain killed Abel. And you can read it if you study the book of Hebrews. You can read that Cain killed Abel. He rose against him and he killed him because Abel brought unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Cain's was excellent, but Abel's was more excellent. Because God didn't require the fruit of the ground, but God required blood. And Abel, by a revelation from God, something that was revealed to him, knew to bring blood. Perhaps Adam had told him God killed a lamb and covered us, and perhaps that's where the revelation came from. But Abel offered blood to God, and God accepted the blood that Abel offered. A bloody lamb. Now, I won't go into it all this morning, but Abel's blood cried to God, and God heard the voice of Abel's blood, and God answered to the voice of Abel's blood, and God said, Cain, the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. It cried for vengeance, and it cried from the thorns. And remember, the thorns came because man disobeyed God. And because man disobeyed God, God said, thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth. That's the curse. So the thorns represent the curse. And Jesus Christ on the cross had a thorn placed upon his brow. And underneath the thorns on his brow, he cried out one of the 7 sayings of the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Abel cried for vengeance. Jesus Christ cried for mercy from the thorns. Oh, brother, hallelujah. Both were shepherds. Both were shepherds. Abel was a shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd of the flock. I haven't got time to go into the type and the contrast and all them things. I've mentioned it before. You cannot sprinkle blood that's congealed. You cannot sprinkle blood that's perished. You cannot sprinkle blood that's lost. You cannot sprinkle blood that's been corrupted. You cannot sprinkle blood that's extinct. But I thank God it's not congealed or corrupted or extinct. But the blood of Jesus Christ shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. It's available this morning. Let me read you this. We're coming to close in a moment. I'll just prephrase it. You know, William Branham, and I'm going to close this. We're going to close. We could get to the apex of glory over the blood. Maybe tonight we'll get to that bit. You know, William Branham was a great prophet of God. Everybody knows that. But he made mistakes. He was a man. And he was in a restaurant and a woman came to serve him food. And she was really exposed. Her body was exposed. She was showing off her flesh too much. And he was just going to read her the riot act. And he was condemning her in his heart. He was condemning her. And you know, the Lord spoke to him. So much that he took his hat off. And he stepped back behind the wee booth. And he saw a vision. And in that vision, he saw the blood of Jesus circling the whole earth. In a circle right round the world. And he said, I don't see her, I see the blood. Then he said, the blood's like the bumper on the car. You know them old Volvo cars was great. You could hit someone with a Volvo. They had one of the greatest test records of safety. Still probably have. You know the Volvo is one of the first cars, the lights stay on them all the time. How many knows that? It's one of the safety features. But there was a big bumper on them. You could hit something that bounced off it. And Jesus' blood's like that for us. When we fall into the danger, the blood protects us. God melted that prophet's heart. Even though that woman was dressed wrong and showed her flesh. And he started to talk to her. And she was a backslider. And she came right back to the Lord right in that cafe. And wept away right back to the Lord. But if he had condemned her, she wouldn't have. But God showed him the blood. Jesus, when the woman was taken in the act of adultery and they were there to stone her to death, Jesus wrote on the ground, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when she rose up, Jesus says, where's all your accusers? And she said, Lord, they're all gone. And he said, neither do I condemn thee, go thy way and sin no more. What about the woman at the well? He said, you've had six husbands. The one you now have, number seven, he's not your husband either. But he said, if you'd asked of me, I'd give you living water. And you'd never thirst again. God changed her life in a moment of visitation from Jesus. Changes lives. And she ran and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. I tell you, brother or sister, this morning, let's stand our feet. God sees the blood sprinkled for you, for me. He sees it, and it speaks for you. You hear me this morning? Just like Abel's blood spoke and God heard it, when Jesus' blood was shed on the cross because he took our place, his blood speaks for every single person. It matches everyone. It speaks for you this morning. And it sets you free from every habit, from every sin, the sin that doth so easily beset you, everything. The blood of Jesus speaks. Let's close our eyes this morning. Now, I'm sure everybody's saved in this service, but if God spoke to you and you feel you need a touch from the Lord, I want you to lift your hand up high to the Lord this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. And if someone gets this message, God has spoke to you. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious blood. Lord, I pray that we might know the potency, life of that blood in this very service this morning. Drive back every demonic power from off your people. I curse every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against every obstacle of the devil in the name of the Lord. Bless everyone in this room. Meet every need spiritually, physically, financially. Touch and bless your people in Jesus' name. Lord, people that's worrying how they're going to pay things and do things, I pray you'll bless them. Bless them now, Lord. Meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn the situation right around and bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we commit it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. A brother's going to come and we're going to praise the Lord for a moment or two this morning. God bless each one.
Yeah, I praise God. Do I have that hymn, Matthew, when I see the blood? See, all of you can join in. Christ our Redeemer, died on the cross.